And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A on this Friday afternoon. I'm talking about this show. This one, I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back on over to Tuscaloosa. Or where does it go? Huntsville to Chattanooga. You know what? Sometimes I look over here and I read text while I'm trying to talk out loud.
Huntsville to Chattanooga, Tuscaloosa back to...
Say it. Go ahead. Gadsden, where Gadsden. You are right now.
Yeah, Tuscaloosa on over to Gadsden, say all the way down
to... No, say, nah, nah, no, nah, say nah, that you, part. You, say it.
You're put me in a trap here.
I did. Say it. Come on.
Nah.
Love his little village on the plains called Auburn.
The town Auburn, yeah.
Love his little village on the plains we call Auburn. War Eagle.
On over to now Fort Benning. Benning! Yeah.
If y'all think for a second that I use notes when I say that, I don't. That whole thing comes out without notes. That's why every once in a while I get distracted by something on my screen and I lose my train of thought. It's awful. All right, that being said, you can tell it's a live show. Hey, but you know what the point is? Whether you're a podcaster, whether you're a radio listener, or whether you are catching it on the live stream every single day, the bottom line is we know it and we appreciate it, and y'all mean the world to us. So thank you for giving us a reason to be on this microphone. Let me see some text lines here. TL from Huntsville says, happy Friday, Phil and JP. And I will catch the rest of it here momentarily. Then Mike from Athens is correcting me. It's not Secretary of Defense. It's Secretary of War. Okay, Mike, I was only in the Army for 30 years. Give me a break, man. I will catch up. Jeff from Indiana says, James Comey isn't the only FBI director that perjured himself for Congress. James Ray did as well. Christopher Wray did as well about the January 6th FBI infiltrator, so maybe he should be a little worried as well. I think the other one is too is Andrew McCabe, who was the deputy under Comey.
Well, did you see the revelation yesterday about FBI agents that were in plain clothes on January 6th?
275 of them.
275.
275 of them in the crowd. Wow.
Yeah, that's a bit different than what Christopher Wray and Comey were testifying before. So.
How many of them were in the last Proud Boys march? Oh, I think all of them. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue. Also, did you hear that apparently Sinclair is bringing the Jimmy Kimmel Show back? By the way, JP, did you hear the Americans are losing to the Europeans right now in the Ryder Cup?
They're coming back, though.
They're coming back,
America,
he says.
America got off to a rough start, but then Trump showed up with a flyover, and then we came ready to play.
So. We know they're coming back because your dad called you about it at 6 a.m. this morning.
My dad called me at the butt crack of dawn to complain about what he was seeing in the Ryder Cup, because he did work with the past Ryder Cup team, and he had some reservations on how they went about it.
But, and he had some opinions.
Yeah. Why'd they pair him with this guy? You got to pair him with that guy. Yeah.
By the way, Jimmy Kimmel coming back. I mean, that's to be expected. If ABC is going to broadcast him again, Sinclair was holding out to make sure they knew. Sinclair said they were holding out until they knew how he was going to come on the air and respond. And I guess they were satisfied at some point. Susan from Huntsville says, regarding Comey, no one is above the law. There you go. Adam from Athens says, Phil, when are you going to hand the show to JP for a day? JP, when am I handing you the show for a day? Monday?
I don't know.
We'll talk about it. Adam is on your payroll, apparently. He says, also, I hate to say it, but I believe Bama's going to pull it out 21-17. He's predicting. He's laying it out there, 21-17 for Georgia.
I mean, Alabama is 6-1 the past seven times playing Georgia, so.
Okay. The past seasons, how are they going to do things this season is what matters.
I mean, DeBoer did beat – I was at the game last year, DeBoer won, but then again, this is on the road, so it's going to be interesting.
Are you at all any good company to be around when Bama's playing on TV? Are you one of those that throws things around the room and gets mad?
Nah. I think I've only gotten that animated in, like, you know, big championship games, but I will say – at Bryant Denny last year after Alabama won, I did start barking at Georgia fans that were nearby because they got rowdy when Georgia started to come back. So
that's so awful. Although I will say, too, your Aunt Charlene, the most animated I've ever seen her was a kick six. Came up out of her chair, swinging her arms like in windmill fashion around, and she's screaming at the TV as he's running back. I've never seen her do that before. Todd from Huntsville says, I want to know if an FBI tactical team is going to show up at Comey's house or will he be allowed to turn himself in? I think he turned himself in this morning, didn't he? That was supposed to be the plan, that he was turning himself in this morning.
I was looking for a perp walk or something, but I haven't seen anything yet. So
yeah. Chris from Athens says, Colonel Williams, the monologue is always great. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. He says, question, if when you're out, instead of replays or past shows, can you get more guest replacements? I think Scott Buttram probably spelled that way. He said, yeah. He said, you have so many good guests. How easy would it be to get a stand-in? It's not hard. It's just that you can't predict the court, and then you try to schedule somebody, and then the court changes the schedule. So you just, sometimes I can, sometimes I can't, because I can't always predict what's going to happen. Then he says, JP does an all right job, I guess. I'm kidding. JP does a great job.
Thank you, Chris.
The last line of something, I got a long text from an anonymous. All right. If you want to tell us who you are, that'd be great.
We'll check that one off there.
Yeah. Okay. And then Tim from Madison says, is Auburn going to win this week? That is the plan. I think technically Auburn won last week. You laugh?
Well, I just find it funny because Auburn's AD put out a statement yesterday whining about the refs, which is, you know, if you want to do that the day after.
The SEC did it first.
No, I agree. But I feel like there's a cutoff. Like, I feel like by, like, Tuesday, it may be time to move on. If you want to put out that statement on, like, Monday or Sunday, I get it, you know. But
unless, my young Padawan, unless there is actually going to be an SEC confab this weekend to discuss what the consequences are going to be, and he's trying to influence it at the last second.
The SEC never does that. The SEC always likes to screw things up and then say, we're sorry, and that's it.
And then David from Hunt says, what's a perf walk? It's not a perf walk. It's a perpetrator walk. Perp walk. That's the slang term for when the cameras are taking pictures as the person who has been indicted has to walk in or walk out of the police station to turn themselves in. Steve from Athens says, if you would allow JP to do the monologue once per week, the show would improve. I know it's difficult for you to hear, Phil, but it's nonetheless true. Roll Tide. What is going on right now?
I don't know.
David from Huntsville says, oh, thank you very much. And then David at Bucky says, Phil, 275 FBI agents in the crowd on January 6th, and they couldn't control the mob. Wonder what the mission was. Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is you can still find videos of people saying, let's go, let's go. And other people looking at it going, fed.
Well, our interview with the guy that was there, David, he said he had the feeling there were some people there to do a job and not to protest.
Exactly. And then there were probably also some paid protesters, to be honest. I mean, look at the way things work around the nation right now. You'll find the same, like all these university protesters, pro-Palestine stuff, when they were seizing buildings last year and all that. Some of the same faces were showing up on different campuses. And the left doesn't want to talk about that because it's not all organic. No. They have paid protesters to go around and help do the rabble-rousing. So there's that. All right, we're going to talk about James Comey here. So let's start the process rolling. The indictment, what does this mean? All right, he's not guilty. It is innocent until proven guilty. I get that. But the interesting dynamic we have right now is that a lot of what we're dealing with are things that Comey has already admitted that he did. He did. So, yeah, Fox News, I've got this one right here. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Former FBI Director James Comey indicted by a grand jury on two counts, alleged false statements within the jurisdiction of the legislative branch, which means lying to Congress, and obstruction of a congressional proceeding. Comey will reportedly turn himself in on Friday, and his arraignment is set for 10 a.m. on October the 9th. So he was going to turn himself in. I'm sure he'll bond right back out. He'll probably be released on his own recognizance. I mean, he's not exactly a flight risk, although he probably has the money to do it if he wanted to. But I don't anticipate him spending time in jail. He'll be processed. There'll be a mugshot. And then the arraignment comes, according to this, on October the 9th. So we got a couple weeks. At that point, he'll plead not guilty, I'm sure. And then we'll see the time frame being set for what's going to happen and when. The article points out that Fox News Digital exclusively reported this July that Comey was indeed under this criminal investigation by the FBI. It's centered on whether he had lied to Congress back during his September 30th of 2020 testimony. Now, somebody pointed out in a text earlier that we were looking at the possibility of Comey's, where did I see this, on social media maybe? Maybe social media. That we were looking at the possibility of the statute of limitations running out like in a matter of days. And so part of this was going to be, it's get him now or get him never. So that's where we are. Now, that being said, I've heard it said you can indict a ham sandwich. And grand jury is not the same as a court of law. There's a little more latitude in grand jury proceedings. There's a little more room to work the evidence. There's not near as much in terms of cross-examination. But I will also say that the indictment was handed down in a venue that is notoriously liberal and tends to lean the opposite of, you know, what the Trump DOJ's position would likely be. The judge assigned to the case, appointed by, was it Obama, I think? Obama, I think it was.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, that's correct. All said and done, he's in a venue that he would probably prefer to stay in, but he's still got an indictment, and he's still got the issues that he has to deal with. And the fact is, he's admitted to me. James Comey is the reason why General Flynn lost his career with the entrapment interview that he did. You've got James Comey at the center of the Russia collusion narrative that just tore our country up for several years, knowing full well it was steeped in all kinds of, you know, just the bottom line, it was not trustworthy. And it was all discredited. We had the Mueller investigation. We had all of it. And yet nothing there. A giant nothing burger. And yet Comey is the one who pressed it forward. Comey is going to have to deal with it. And then Comey admits that later on, when he was being terminated, he decided to go ahead and get information to an outside source to give to the press, believing that he could be used to help better his own position later. And he said so. So the whole thing, we're dealing with a leaker and a liar. And he may wind up being legally not guilty. They may wind up not being able to prove the counts against him in a court of law. But the court of public opinion is dealing with him right now too. And he didn't want to do that. He was content to be the guy who wrote the book on ethical leadership. That's what it's called, ethical leadership. And yet, we're talking about the guy who was over people like Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok. I mean, good Lord. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. More on this. And then coming up top of the hour, Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, going to talk to us about his perception of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so I've got a couple more thoughts on this situation with Comey before we get to the top of the hour discussion with Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, on the same thing. I will say this. Somebody pointed out to me on social media, it had not occurred to me, so credit where credit's due, that it's very interesting that James Comey is dealing with all this without having a Biden pardon. Huh. Reckon why that would be. No Biden pardon, you say? Interesting. So, I mean, you know, Biden just like issued out pardons like candy. I mean, just laying them out there, just like throwing them to the wind. It was kind of sick. And James Comey has no pardon from the Biden administration. I mean, you got people that got preemptive pardons just in case they'd ever done anything wrong. Come on. Anyway, no pardon for the Biden administration. The other piece of this, though, that's very telling is that part of the reason why you're seeing the indictment right now is because the statute of limitations was due to run out, I think, next Tuesday. It has a 5-year statute of limitations on the counts that he's now charged with. It's a very narrowly construed indictment. 2 counts. They didn't do a big blanket. They didn't do a shotgun approach. They didn't try to throw in everything but the kitchen sink. They didn't try to make it so broad that it would also appear to be overreach. They said, here's what we got, and we're going with these 2 counts, which also probably means that those are the counts that is most likely to be able to be proven. But yeah, I mean, we've seen any number of investigations on Crossfire Hurricane. We've seen any number of, we had the Mueller, we had the Durham, we had all kinds of things going on. We're also hearing right now that John Bolton and former CIA Director John Brennan may also be under criminal investigation for similar issues related to the Trump-Russia probe. But then you got to look at it and go, my gosh, think about things he did that may not be in these counts, but James Comey is no saint. Like, for instance, one of the things that really still pisses me off the most is what happened with General Michael Flynn. I told my wife before Flynn took his position with the first Trump administration that if I could ever work for that guy, I would. It's very, one of the very few people that I could see from a distance and decide I would work for that guy. I always appreciated his commentary, his candor. I appreciated his military background. And what happened to him was a travesty of justice. It was literally Comey who sent guys over to interview him, knowing full well there wasn't much there. And the actual agents who interviewed Flynn didn't even believe that he had intentionally lied to them about his meeting with Russian diplomats. Like, they asked him questions, and he's like, I don't recall that. Maybe it. And Comey and his investigators decided to push for charges anyway. And they drained Flynn of his personal resources. They threatened to indict his son, and they ultimately secured a guilty plea. And it took Trump pardoning him this year for him to get his life back. They could care less about people. Right now, what we're looking at is Comey is actually accused of having taken classified information. He was a leaker bar none. There's a scathing report that came out from Inspector General Michael Horowitz, found that Comey had been a leaker who had violated FBI policy as the director in his handling of FBI memos, including those that were containing things like code names and true identities of sensitive sources. And then he leaked it by his own admission. He said he did. He leaked it to his friend, who's a Columbia law professor named Daniel Richmond, who then, oh, by the way, took it to the New York Times. He did it to basically get a personally desired outcome. He wanted to set the narrative in a way that he felt like benefited him. So he leaked information he thought would be helpful. And then you got Andrew McCabe, who worked for Comey at the time, said that he believed that Comey had instructed him to leak the information. And so he did. And Comey denied that under oath. And then James Baker, FBI general counsel, close advisor to Comey. He also told investigators he was under the belief that he had been ultimately instructed and authorized to provide more information to the Times. And it basically sets up a situation here. You got McCabe and Baker, who are supposed to be friends with Comey. All of them hate Trump. But now they're going to be in a position where McCabe and Baker are probably going to have to testify to something that Comey says didn't happen. Who's lying? So he's facing two counts, making false statements and obstructing congressional proceedings. That's found under 18 U.S.C. Section 1001. And we'll see where it goes. It's going to be an interesting dynamic. I think D.C. is going to be watching this one.
Can I ask something real quick before we go to break? Why is it, do you think they didn't give Comey and Brennan pardons? Do they want them to be like the sacrificial lambs or something? Like,
that's a great question.
You would think they pardoned anybody that they could get their hands on, essentially. And if they actually were trying to pardon people that Trump's going to attack his political enemies, then you would think Comey and Brennan would be on the list of people they would pardon. So I'm wondering, like, I get the feel of, like, they're letting these guys be sacrificial lambs almost because they know they did something. And that they're probably going to get, you know, rightfully so, the DOJ to go after them. I don't know.
I think there's a couple of reasons. On Comey, let's not forget that even though Comey was a, you know, complete turd when it came to doing things the right way, he also was still seen by many as having done some things that helped hose Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
So she's probably still in the mix, stirring the pot. John Brennan, though, just the opposite. At the same time, I think if they had issued pardons on Russia collusion, it would have indicated that the White House was very involved in issues related to Russia collusion, and they didn't want to bring that narrative forward. So that's the main reason, in my opinion. All right, we're taking a break. Coming right back, former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday, y'all. Welcome to hour number two. We're going to get you all the way to go home time on the Friday afternoon. In the meantime, though, we're going to continue this conversation about the indictment that was just handed down from a grand jury in the Eastern District of Virginia against former FBI Director James Comey. And we spent some time talking about it here. I mean, he's facing two counts right now, false statements and obstructing congressional proceedings. I think it's 18 USC section 1001. But the reality is, the interesting thing is this: one of these charges is the exact same charge he helped conjure up against General Michael Flynn. Let that sink in. Karma. Courtroom karma, I'm calling it. In the meantime, though, let me bring in somebody who knows all about courtrooms. Jay Towne is a former U.S. attorney appointed by Trump, and he's also now one of the principals at Radiance Technologies. Jay has also got a long career as a prosecutor, not only a U.S. attorney, but a prosecutor otherwise, and a military JAG officer in the Marine Corps, and he's on the line right now. Jay Towne, how you doing, buddy?
My man, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. all right, so give me your thoughts, dude. Unvarnished opinion, indictment. What do you think?
So, look, people need to understand a couple of things. First of all, 18 U.S.C. 1001 is not a particularly novel charge. Essentially, it just means you lied to authorities or you lied to Congress, right? Some agency during the course of their duties, their official duties, which certainly sitting in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee on September 30th, 2020, that's an official duty of the Congress. So there's nothing novel about it. And then as far as the obstruction goes, which I think is the more serious of the two charges, the obstruction is not just, I mean, you tell a lie to obstruct or impede an investigation. That's essentially what the obstruction charge means under the federal code. The problem Comey has is the evidence in this case will not just include, they're not just going to run a tape of his testimony before the Judiciary Committee from 2020. They are going to be able to go all the way back to 2016 and use the comments that Comey was making. And the reason why about the Russiagate hoax, because it'll fully inform and contextualize his testimony in 2020. And there was a great deal of prevarication in that testimony. I stand by my previous testimony was his answer several times to Senator Cruz, for instance. Well, then you got to go back to that previous testimony in the context of that. And so it really will be an interesting sort of dragnet of Comey's own words. And remember, this guy couldn't shut up.
Yeah.
From the moment he got fired, he couldn't shut up. He's written, I don't know how many books now, done 1,000 interviews. He's always the smartest guy in the room. Just ask him. And in my opinion, the worst FBI director, perhaps in history, but certainly has done more damage to the Bureau than any in my lifetime. And Chris Wray was cashing, paying the bar tab for Jim Comey for the entirety of his tenure. And now Kash Patel's trying to clean it up even further. So he's got some serious legal problems here because neither one of these cases are terribly difficult to prove.
What, you know, and I noticed it was a fairly narrowly construed indictment. It wasn't like a broad shotgun blast of anything and everything under the sun. They've got two counts. They basically narrowed it down and said two counts. This is what he did. What are your thoughts on that level of indictment?
So they actually tried for a third count, as far as we know, only three, and the grand jury declined or no-billed. That third count. Now, that might signal to some folks, well, this must be entirely a weak case. No. What it says to me in deep blue Alexandria, Virginia, is that this was actually a very thoughtful grand jury because they still came back with a true bill, an indictment on two of the three counts. They just didn't like the third one for whatever reason. All right, fine. Grand juries do that all the time. That's not uncommon. And so this grand jury gave it a lot of thought. They knew who they were indicting. They knew what this meant for, you know, publicity and the office. And they very thoughtfully came back with this two count indictment. And again, this is not like a OJ trial. This is 2 weeks tops, maybe a week. If I was trying, it'd be a day and a half.
No kidding. Well, so let me ask you this. I got a couple more questions on it. What do you know about potential sentencing? Let's say they find him guilty. What's he facing?
Mm-hmm. Well, Roger Stone did what? He got sentenced to what, 4 years?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It was right? The same charges, right?
Yeah. General Flynn was gonna serve time. A number of people, remember, I'm old enough to remember when people just didn't comply with a congressional subpoena, much less lie to them.
Yeah.
And they did time, right? So these are jailable offenses. And, you know, he was appearing, at least in 16, and that's the testimony that he's referencing in 2020, in 16 and 17. He was the FBI director in March of 2017 still. He was representing the Bureau. He was the chief law enforcement officer for the FBI. And so, you know, it'll be interesting. And we don't know a lot from the indictment, by the way. We're speculating about which false statements he made or which statements were false in that September 30th testimony. We think we know. We think it's the stuff with Ted Cruz. But the indictment doesn't tell us, and we haven't seen all the evidence that the government has. I can bet you, though, Phil, that there are several people that used to be in Comey's circle, like an Andy McCabe,
yeah,
or a Jim Baker, who was the chief counsel for the FBI. These individuals, I'm wondering which one is going to testify against Comey first.
Well, that was my question. My next question was, Jonathan Turley did a write-up on this, and he said that one of the most interesting dynamics of this is that even though all of them hate Trump, Andrew McCabe and Jim Baker are in the position right now of, despite having been close associates of Comey, they've said openly that they felt like they were, you know, told to go ahead and leak information or make statements. And so it's going to be their word against his word, and yet they're all allegedly close associates. So this is going to be one of those like, oh my gosh, who's lying now?
Right, and Comey has been asked in several interviews, which could be evidence too, about those statements that Baker and McCabe have made. And Comey never expected to be in this position. And so, you know, he would just say simply, you know, I remember it differently or whatever. It wasn't sometimes it was, no, that's not what happened. But again, that typical Comey, John Brennan, Clapper prevarication of, maybe, maybe not, or I'll be cute with my words. I'll say that the CIA did never assess, and that way I'm not suggesting that I had any involvement in this at all. It was this huge, swath of 20,000 employees that assessed it, not me. You can't blame all of us. So it's just little things like that that are actually going to be haunting in trying to defend James Comey for whoever his defense lawyers are. I'm sure I'll know who his defense lawyers are, and I'm sure they're very qualified people. But I think it's a much tougher case than Jake Tapper and, MSNBC, pick a host would like to believe.
Yeah, so you mentioned something, though, that was going to be one of my last questions for you was the fallout. I think the statute of limitations on these charges was going to run out next Tuesday. There is some speculation that there are others, though, that are being investigated that could be under a similar statute of limitations. John Bolton, John Brennan, we hear they're under criminal investigation right now. Do you expect there to be more indictments handed down within the same framework?
So two things I want to say about this. The answer is yes, I do expect Bolton especially. We just saw recently a search of his home and his office.
Yeah.
Brennan testified, I believe it was 22 or 23. So I don't think, and that testimony is much the same as his previous testimony that would be up against the statute. So I don't know that's necessarily going to be statute limited. But the declination memo, this is how we learned that Comey, 48 hours before Comey was indicted, we learned on NBC News that, you know, Comey's indictment is imminent. Well, the reason that was is because every U.S. attorney in their office, the AUSAs, will write a prosecution memo or a declination memo. We're going to prosecute the guy or we're going to decline to prosecute the guy. And the declination memo, the contents of it haven't been leaked, but the fact that one existed and that the previous U.S. attorney and then the new one were both briefed on it. And at least one or both of them disagreed with it, so they decided to go to the media about that. One, that's a crime, leak of 6E information about anybody, even pending charges before a grand jury, is contemptuous of court. and a crime under the federal criminal code and the rules of court. And so that's A, but B, it was really meant to undermine this new U.S. attorney and the Department of Justice. This new U.S. attorney is not going to walk this case into court. It's going to be done by the professionals at EDBA who have an army of lawyers, prosecutors there, or folks from DOJ or a combination of the two. But it's very troublesome to me that the AUSA is in that office. If you don't believe that the DOJ was a member of the deep state, if you don't believe that they had been infected by impolitics, and that's why you saw all these firings when Emil Bove and Todd Blanche and Pam were getting in there, then you don't understand the reality of this particular agency. To have a bunch of kids come up to a presidentially appointed person and then leak their thoughts on the matter to the media just to scuff them up, that's the type of disgusting behavior that should be fireable, could be prosecutable.
Well, more to come on that, I'm sure, because the current mode right now within the Trump DOJ, like you said, is to lop off heads, and leakers are no longer considered to be just go ahead and put it on fair notice. D.C., you just saw a leaker and a liar mm-hmm. indicted, and I think that D.C. is on eggshells right now, walking on eggshells. That's what I hope.
The find out phase has begun.
It has. Yep. It has indeed. Mm-hmm. I'll say the clean way, fool around, find out. That's what I'll say on the air. But yeah.
There you go. I can cost you $1,000
no.
FTC fine if you want me to say the whole thing.
We got a red button right here with your name on it if you do that. So, all right, Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, appreciate your thoughts and insights as always. Spot on. And we'll have you back on if something develops, man.
Best to you, Phil. Thank you. Have a great weekend, everybody.
We're taking a break right now, but there you go. I mean, you're hearing the scoop. This is the way it's looking right now. Leakers and liars are suddenly on notice. And Washington, D.C. is made clear there's a new sheriff in town. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, I'm going to get some text messages and keep caught up with that because you guys are some texting machines here on a Friday. You want to chime in? Give us your thoughts. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Yep, you can text it or you can call it. Matt from Madison says, sounds like a coup d'etat. What are we talking about? I don't know.
I don't remember.
What's the coup d'etat? He sent that at 2:42 p.m. So what were we talking about back then? I got to look back and see. I guess what he's talking about is the efforts by Comey and others to do their things on the side and try to get their way. And now they're fooled around and found out. Joe in Tennessee says the FBI who were at January 6th were DEI and paid by Soros. Not anymore. Okay.
That's the thing of like... I can't even steel man the best argument as to why there would be 275 FBI agents in plain clothes to stop something. They didn't stop anything. There's 275 of them, and if they were there to stop something, it would be people going into the Capitol. Like the opposite happened.
And I'll be honest, they probably weren't there to stop anything. To be honest with you, they were probably there to take notes and to basically snap a few pictures here and there so they can get after people later on. But I think what we're also going to find is they had opportunities to warn people off, to say, don't do that. I suggest you not. And what we're also really concerned about is that some of them might actually have been stoking people, which could be entrapment.
Well, there's that one video of this guy with a mask. He's got like one of those pull-up masks, and he's at the Capitol, and a window was partially broken already, and he ripped the window out, threw it to the ground, and a guy nearby him points and goes, "Hey, dude, what did you?" And the guy tries to pin it on the guy that caught him and like pushes him, be like, "Knock it off, dude, stop it," like trying to pin.
I hadn't seen that.
And it's like, that's a little bit weird. A masked guy breaks a window and then blames another guy that did it. It's like, it's just, there's so many events about that day that
there
are
were.
Weird.
That day is going to go down. That day is right up there with Area 51 and who shot JFK and all of it. It's just, it's got so many mysteries wrapped in conundrums inside of puzzles. David in Huntsville says, I love what Comey did to Hillary Clinton when he reopened the email investigation right before the 2016 presidential election. Yeah, that was weird. And I think that part of the reason why He was uncovered, if you will. He was not left with a pardon and all that, is because there are some who believe that Trump got elected in part because Comey sort of left a taint on Hillary Clinton, if you will. But then the other piece of this, though, is I really think that the Biden White House couldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, because to give him a pardon for Russia collusion would be like to say the Biden administration understands all the details of Russia collusion that they said they knew nothing about. So there's that. Dave from Capshaw sends me a meme. Babylon Bee again says, a new report indicates only three people in January 6th crowd were not FBI agents.
And they didn't go in the Capitol.
Yeah, boy. Dustin from Hillsboro says, Phil, it was nice to meet you at the Charlie Kirk event. Yes, it was, Dustin, and I appreciate you walking up and introduce yourself. I love it when I get to put a face with a name. He says, when you say the lovely Charlene, you ain't lying. Well, thank you very much. He says, well done. JP, are you pulling the Marines over the next 3 days? Or pulling the Marlins over the next 3 days?
Why would I? It doesn't help the Braves. They're out of it.
You can't just find another team to root for. You just got to.
It's funny.
I know what I'm asking.
It's funny the Braves did go on a 10-game winning streak like a week after they got eliminated from the playoffs.
Holy cow. Like, where have you been, guys?
Go figure.
Thomas from Athens. I saw the pressure was off.
Yeah.
Thomas from Athens says, regarding the FBI agents in the Jan 6 crowd, John Solomon of Just the News is reporting that many of those 274 rank-and-file FBI agents disclosed on the AAR, the After Action Report, about Jan 6, but 50 pages of more disclosures of several years preceding Jan 6 about, I don't know, this is like a detailed email or text. He says, yada, 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 the AAR was kept hidden. That's the point, I was about to say. From even congressional oversight by James Comey and Christopher Wray until this week. Yeah. It's sick. All right, music's playing. We're taking a break. I got more text messages, but don't worry. We're coming back right now. We're pausing all the politics and the policy and the culture wars, and we're going to talk some JP on sports. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.